to the Illumination Cinema Movie Podcast.
I'm still not done processing, so I'll do my best to give input.
Well, anyway, I'm Tyler.
I'm Gina.
And I'm Jillian.
And today, we're doing a little bit of a fun podcast for April Fool's Day. Where we decided to talk about some silly movies. And we'll roll those out as we go along. I think what's there to even talk about besides getting directly into it? We're gonna start with our first movie of the evening, which is the classic DreamWorks animated film, Ants.
Classic. Not to be confused with A Bug's Life.
Yep.
We started talking about this a bit earlier while we were watching the movie, or as the movie was wrapping up, basically. Mm-hmm. And partially to segue into like the last time we watched this, each of us, because you know this is an older one. It's been many, many years. It's probably been 15, 20 years since I've seen this movie.
Yeah, it's been 25 years since I've seen it.
And so I had very little memory of any of it. And it's appalling how close it is to A Bug's Life.
I thought it was extremely different from A Bug's Life.
There's little things about, like, I think the dynamic, like, or at least like some of the baseline things are sort of similar.
Yeah.
Like it's about some schlubby worker ant and a princess, like, you know, they have that in common. I think they have some of the same groundwork, and then they went in two different directions.
Yeah.
And one is very clearly better.
Yep.
Because there were things,
one of them,
there were things about it that were impressive for the time. Like, I don't think it was matching Toy Story necessarily, but for their first feature length CG animated outing, like, you know, there was some interesting stuff. But then you look at A Bug's Life, which came out the same year, and it like it paves over this,
yeah,
in terms of,
right,
quality. Like,
I mean, this reminds me, like, the opening shots, the big zoom in, the big, you know, throughout the ant colony. I remember at the time that was super impressive, and it was, I mean, when I saw it, I was impressed. But when I watch it now, I feel like when I look at PS1 games.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, at the time I thought PS1, wow, wave of the future.
It's, yeah, because I mean, like, the scope of it is interesting. Like, it is really cool. Like, they have, I mean, if you're, again, we're comparing the two movies, like, you know, you see, I feel like, far more ants in this movie. But you're giving the sacrifice of, like, there's maybe three types of background ant characters, and they're, uh-huh, so stiff, and they're so like polygonal.
Jillian, when was the last time you saw it?
I don't know. I so as we were watching it, I realized, oh, I thought we were gonna watch The Ant Bully. And this is, I have even fewer memories of ants. I was maybe I have no idea. I'm guessing it was probably, how old am I now? I can't even do math.
Well, so you were born in the year 2000.
I know.
If that helps.
I thank you, Tyler.
And
well, I know how
think
old,
about
I
what the
how,
year
I know how old I am.
Is.
Now, I'm just trying to think. Maybe I saw it when I was like 8.
Okay. It's been a minute.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
And it was way less memorable than either A Bug's Life or The Ant Bully. And now I just want to go watch The Ant Bully.
Probably a better choice.
Yeah, well, The Ant Bully, I've never seen it. I don't think it stars Woody Allen. And as this movie began, like, I immediately began hating it. Because I hate him.
Starts off in the most Woody Allen way imaginable with him at the therapist's. Because apparently they don't just have two jobs.
See, here's the thing. Here's the Yeah. There's also a band
if
at the bar.
If you don't want to be a worker ant, maybe you could be a therapist.
Yeah, therapist ant. You could be a band bartender. You could work at the bar, apparently.
Yeah.
So Woody Allen in this movie, he tries something a little bit different from what he usually does. He plays kind of a neurotic character. Another movie that this is very similar to, at least in like the first half of it, is B-Movie.
Yeah.
Which was really funny because when we went to rent this, there was a two-pack of this and B-Movie.
I've never seen B-Movie.
The beginnings of the films are similar because it very much is like kind of that individualistic view in within like this, you have a job to do, insect mentality thing. And they're also similar in that Woody Allen and Jerry Seinfeld have both dated children.
Yeah, they sure have. You know, I was very super distracted by some of the weird things about, like, what is with their eye sockets? Their eye sockets are like also their eyebrows, and they move.
Yeah, like,
I don't know, I hate it.
It's all like all the pieces are very connected, and like the textures are weird. Like,
they're so smooth.
They're so smooth, and then ugh.
But the prophetic ant in the bar, the drunk guy ant.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had stubble.
Yeah, he was.
He
very,
did.
He was
I didn't
very,
notice
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he did. Well, he stood out, and at first I was like, because you get that shot of him in the background while why am I forgetting his name? It's a single letter.
Z.
Mm-hmm. Z is talking, and you're like, oh. He's gonna talk. looks different.
Like
the old cartoons.
Yeah.
Like where you could see the outline. Everything was outlined different if they were gonna pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is cell animation. This is a painted background. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that was interesting though too. After the war sequence.
Yeah.
When we come back to it, it is just all painted. It felt like. Am I wrong?
There are some really, really good-looking shots in that sequence.
Yeah, and then there are things after where I get what you mean. It's like flatter. It's a lot flatter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's kind of like the shots of the carnage.
The carnage, yeah.
Yeah. Those like feel like they're kind of painted almost.
Yeah.
And I had that same thought. I wondered, because this was such a new thing, like how many shortcuts were taken and for that sort of thing, because I almost wondered, like, it would be real easy to go outside and just record some video of
there were things especially ground. At the end where it did seem very like they jump in quality, but it was weird. The whole movie felt really weird to me. I don't know.
Well, and I think the art style, they could have developed a pattern better and utilized some of those shortcuts. And they almost, like with the carnage sequence, it was kind of cool because it's like, oh, this is different. Mm-hmm. But they don't really continue a ton with a consistent
It's
choice.
The best, that war scene is the best looking part of the movie. I think, because like there's a big problem that the movie has. Well, like in terms of like the quality of animation, like you can really tell lighting was not their strong, like, or like the models were not holding up under brighter light. Once they're outside, they look worse. But then when they're like in like the cave and it's like really dark, there's like so much like weird motion, smooth, there's track lines.
There's a lot of that.
It looks gross. It almost kind of helps the movie a little bit that it's older and that like it had to, like it was made into a film print, which is now like it almost added a little bit of texture on top of it, so it didn't look too clean, and smooth. But even still, it's very smooth. Like, and it, I was with the crowd shots, I had this kind of feeling of like these background ants are like on a VeggieTales scale, mm-hmm. whereas like the main ants are maybe on more of a Toy Story scale.
Yeah, yeah, there was that scene where they all started dancing in unison at the bar, and I thought you were gonna die.
Oh, it hurt me like, physically.
Well, and that's where like if they had spent more time developing it, I think they could have utilized that. I think too much than they should. But they could have utilized it because you do have that theme of everything is way too structured.
Yeah.
And specific until it's not. But they did not execute that well, and I don't think that was their intention either.
Yeah. Yeah, not a very good looking movie. So, I don't know. I'm fucking tired of talking about ants. Final thoughts on ants. Give your Jamie ratings. What do you think?
I'm going to give it 2 Jamies, and that's purely really? For Christopher Walken's performance. Just, that's all.
I don't know. That's abysmal.
I love Christopher Walken, though. He gets the 2 points.
I don't know. It was still fun. Fun is the wrong word. I could not take my eyes off the screen, so I will give it 3. Well, I'm going to give it 2.5 because I thought it was going to be God. Ant Bully. And I am sad.
Loses points.
2.5. Oh, my God. You know, like, I laughed at a handful of jokes. Like, it's ambitious. It doesn't pay off. It's definitely beneath average. But, like, I laughed a couple times. I don't know. I'd give it a 4. And I'm the mean one. Jeez.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm pretty mean.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. Let's move on to our next movie, which is Ants.
Yeah, man.
So this movie, when's the last time you guys watched Ants? Because it's kind of a little, it's an older one. It's DreamWorks' first.
Uh-huh. I was 11 years old in the theater. Not going to tell you how long ago that was.
Well, we know the year.
Nah, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Don't worry about it. You can't do math.
You're not in my head. I did not watch this movie in theaters. I did watch a very similar movie called A Bug's Life.
Ah, yes. Theaters. Yeah, Bug's Life.
Yeah, no, I think I saw this later on like Cartoon Network or something. How about you, Jillian?
Well, I did not see this movie in theaters, nor did I see A Bug's Life in theaters, because I was born 2 years late. Late to the party.
You missed out on the bug revolution.
I know, it's so sad. I am pretty sure I watched Ants, like many other weird movies, on my own. My sister controlled the TV a lot. But when I had my chance, I always found the weird ones. So, this was one of them.
I love that.
This was Ants and Bug's Life was the Barbenheimer of 1998.
The ad campaign was very interesting. They tried to paint Ants as the more adult movie,
right?
That's the more mature movie, and A Bug's Life is for kids, which is ironic because Ants does star Woody Allen,
but it has.
You almost think that they'd want to attract kids into the theater for Woody Allen.
You'd think it was in his contract. I do have Woody Allen puke face emoji in my notes.
Well, there's a scene in the movie where the story of Ants is Woody Allen plays a worker ant. Uh-huh. And, you know, Woody Allen tries something a little bit different in this one. He plays a neurotic guy.
Who'd have thunk it?
He doesn't feel like he fits in. And he has a friend, played by Sylvester Stallone,
Who I thought that was George Clooney, like two-thirds of the movie.
I do kind of get why, like, they have a similar tonality.
Yeah, yeah. It was like, and then the second I realized, oh God, it's Sylvester Stallone. I was like, that, okay, I get it. I get it.
But so he's a big, huge soldier ant, and Woody Allen falls in love with this princess ant, and he has an opportunity, like the soldier ants have an opportunity to see, to be in the same room as the princess. So he's going to switch places with him. And when he does this, Sylvester Stallone is sleeping, and Woody Allen crawls out, like straddles him.
He did.
I wonder if his daughter woke up that way many times. I'm going to cut that out. That's terrible.
That was pretty bad, Tyler. That was pretty bad. Oh.
I'm sorry.
Too dark. Too dark. Unfortunately.
Unfortunately, it might be true.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
Allegedly. I think it's actually fact.
Allegedly. Don't get sued, Tyler.
At least she does now. They're married.
Oh, that one.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Different.
Stepdaughter.
Different daughter, though.
Foster daughter.
What?
Oh, did
you? I did not know that. Sorry. I didn't realize. I thought we were not recording this. Like, not keeping
no,
this.
No, I think
portion.
It's interesting, though, that you don't know about Sun Yi.
Jillian is learning
live. Okay, I also live under a rock.
No, that's okay. Well, so, you would have been not born, I think, when this happened.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But Woody Allen and Mia Farrow had adopted children. She had adopted some children even before she met him. And then they got together, and they weren't married, but they were together. And Sun Yi was one of the adopted children. So he lived in the house, allegedly molested his biological daughter. And then when Sun Yi turned 18... Mia Farrow and Woody Allen broke up, and he started dating Sun Yi.
That's really bad.
Who was his adopted daughter.
Yeah.
That's who he's still married to. Wow. He's still married to her. So he did come into her life when she was about 8.
And it's so strange. Like, he had a fucking prosperous career.
Oh, yeah. Like, very famous.
For a while. Like, I don't think anyone really changed their tune on Woody Allen until like maybe like 2015-ish.
It just depended, because people did make fun of him the whole time.
Right.
But people were like, well, I guess at least what I remember growing up is, it's like, at least he waited till
she was
18.
And they ignored the grooming part.
But like
part
the
of
little
it.
Kid things, the things that his biological daughter alleges, or maybe she was adopted too, I don't remember.
There were two adopted daughters.
But yeah, he came into her life before she was in the family. Like, I don't remember if it was biological or if they adopted her together. I don't remember. But yeah, so anyway, after that, that happened in the public eye, but I was so little, I didn't know about it. And it was like people forgot about it.
Yeah.
That part. And everybody said, oh, Mia Farrow's crazy, and she manipulated that girl into saying that she molested him because we're going through a bad custody fight.
Yeah, I remember that.
So it got kind of dismissed until about 2015, when she came out as an adult.
Yeah, because she kind of told her story.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, yeah. She there's like a documentary that I couldn't finish.
Yeah.
And the way she talks about it, yeah.
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 Wow.
So anyway, they switch places. They switch places. And then a whole bunch of wacky hijinks ensue. And they find Woody Allen and the princess ant. Who plays the princess ant? Sharon Stone. Her performance in many spots, very stilted. I feel like they did not record together.
No.
And I feel like she recorded sitting down.
Yeah.
Never record sitting down.
I love your guys' inside animator joke.
I don't know, for an undisclosed
We know there's an animated feature.
An animated project. Well, Tyler and I discovered that we are not very good reading partners. And
Over Discord.
Over Discord. So that hindered it. But also I was sitting down, which was a mistake. And we will be re-recording my lines.
It happens.
Still with Jillian.
Yeah, she gets to do it again.
Yeah, I need one more chance.
If it comes out the same standing up, I don't know.
Then I'm gesturing at myself.
Gina slinks away.
I'm always like, you got a part for me? But unfortunately, unbeknownst to these ants, the general is like going to launch a preemptive strike on the termites. So, by the way, did George W. Bush get the idea for the preemptive strike from the movie Ants?
So, actually, so there's another DreamWorks war movie that I think might have been released the same year. I think Saving Private Ryan is the same year. Do you think that...
Two wars?
Do you think Ants influenced Saving Private Ryan at all?
It could be.
Spielberg worked on both films.
He did?
Yeah, DreamWorks is Spielberg's
company.
Oh,
yeah. I didn't know that till very recently.
Yeah. SKG, Spielberg, Katzenberg, and Geffen. Yeah. Speaking of, you talked earlier about thinking that Sylvester Stallone's character was played by George Clooney. So I knew Dan Aykroyd was in this picture based on the very cute opening credits. They have like a magnifying glass go over the very small names and you can see them. That was nice. And so I thought Dan Aykroyd, because he was billed so high that he was the like general character. And I thought, man, he's doing a really good voice. Because it kind of sounds like him. Enough that I thought it was him. Because I was like trying to place everybody. And so I have many notes about Dan Aykroyd giving a solid performance. But actually, it's Gene Hackman.
Yeah, I said Gene Hackman giving the performance of his life.
For Gene Hackman, this is actually not his best.
I know. I just...
But Dan Aykroyd...
He was giving it all.
He's no Kevin Spacey in A Bug's Life.
Wait! Shut up!
The similarities continue.
What is this universe? What has man brought?
I'm pretty sure it was Danny Glover.
Yes.
Playing the character that he goes to into the war with.
Yes. Barbados.
He was a fun character who's around for a little bit until he's just ahead.
It's kind of traumatic, I feel like. Like, okay.
Well, he delivers the message of the film, which is think for yourself, which he was already doing.
Because he was just ahead.
No, what he's telling Woody Allen's character to think for himself. Okay. I'm like, that's how he fucking got there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it doesn't always work out.
Well, and I think that the interesting thing is like, this is the problem with it being so short. It's like, I don't want to be any longer, but it's like he learned, think for yourself, but then he also needed to learn, but also don't only look out for yourself.
Right. Yeah.
And they almost got a chance to do that, but at the pivotal moment where he decides to go back for the princess, he goes back for his own selfish reasons.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's like, oh, you're both jerks, and...
Oh my god, and then not even to save his best bud.
Right.
Yeah.
He wasn't going back to save Sylvester.
Fuck Sly. He's in the same problem with everybody else. Just the princess so he can get laid. But at the very end of the movie, like they're all working together to like kind of make this, you know, ant ladder to get out. And even then, like, he just goes up on his own and doesn't help anybody else up.
No.
And then then gets knocked down. Maybe he would have. He got knocked down.
Maybe.
But, yeah, no, everybody else was very focused on helping everybody else in that moment. Woody Allen at no point helps another person.
Well, and he helped other people because the princess wanted to help other people.
Yes.
Yes. No, I mean, he's a selfish little neurotic little guy. I don't think he really learns his lesson.
No.
Nobody learned anything.
Except for what's his face drowned. The general learned don't commit genocide.
And then died.
Yeah, because, yeah, that was his lesson.
Although, I guess, I'm forgetting his name now, but like his right-hand man.
Oh, Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like he did. He finally...
He learned the lesson.
Learned the lesson.
He
did.
Yeah. Oh, Christopher Walken. Well, he is the hero.
Yeah, he is.
He is the hero of the movie.
He's a slippery little character. Okay, final thoughts on Ants. What do you give it? What's your Jamie rating for Ants?
I will give it a 3 because of all the time they spent animating those lips on the ants.
God, we did have to watch them kiss, which was
which was
an abomination.
It was horrible.
How about you, Jillian?
You know, it's difficult for me because when I watch movies, I am ever the optimist and I try to figure out how they could work. So for the sake of how this movie could have gone, but failed to achieve, I'm going to give it a 4.5.
A 4.5?
Okay. On potential.
Interesting, interesting. You know, I laughed a few times. Like, it was ambitious, but, like, it's not, it didn't quite reach, like, it's not good. I think I just give it a 4.
Okay, okay.
In that case, let's move on to our final film of the night.
Best one.
The best one.
The best film, yes.
Someone hazard to say the best one. That would be Ants.
Yep, my favorite film of the night, starring Woody Allen.
Woody Allen, who plays kind of a different character than he usually does. He's kind of a neurotic guy in this one.
Yeah. A little different.
Yeah, different character for him.
But at least he's seeing a therapist.
He is seeing a therapist.
You know what? Yeah, he is working on himself.
Yes.
I don't know why he couldn't have just, you know, been a therapist.
Yeah, considering.
If he didn't like
it. He doesn't care about other people, so.
Oh, you know what? You're right. He's a very selfish little ant.
He's a very selfish guy. God, the animation. I can't say enough bad things about it. I could say a few good things, but, like, there's some Uncanny Valley shit going on with, like, because they, like, add human features to their faces. Yeah. Like the
lips. Yeah. And the lips.
Like, yeah, there's lips. And then, like, there'll be some, like, and it's so strange because, like, Woody Allen's character is a decent blend of human features and ant features. There's zero ant features, but making a cartoon ant with kind of a human face.
Yeah.
But then, like, there's other ones, like Danny Glover's character, who, like looks like a, has, like, is such a person.
Yeah.
It's disturbing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And he's the one who we see dying, so.
Oh, yeah, he's just a head later in the film.
It's like, this is maybe why my 8-year-old self blocked out the movie.
Oh, yeah,
because when we put this on, you thought we were watching Ant Bully.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about how long it's been since we've seen this movie.
How long has it been since you've seen this movie, Gina?
Well, you know, it was, I don't know, I was in maybe like 5th or 6th grade. So, I don't know. I watched it in the theater.
If you could give us a year.
A year? What year?
It was 1998, because that's when it came out.
It was 1998. That's when I saw it.
And you were 11 years old at that time.
I was. I was 11 years old in 1998.
It's been a little while.
It's been a minute. I'm much older now. I am 55 years old.
Ants aged you significantly.
Yeah, I have aged, like... 20 fucking years.
You aged 20 years on that day when you watched Ants.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that explains a lot about my childhood, actually. Fucking Ants.
Fucking Ants. I watched this on Cartoon Network. It was well after it came out. Like, it must have, early aughts, early to mid aughts.
When I was in high school.
Yeah. I was just a wee lad at that time.
If we want to make more jokes about that.
Jillian, how young were you?
In 1998.
Yeah. I was -2 years old.
Just a little sprout.
Yeah, you know? Wasn't even in the womb.
But a twinkle.
I was going to say, that's the word. I hate when people say that. It's so weird.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense either.
Just a twinkle in your dad's eye?
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. I don't like to think about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Does it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does. But it's awful.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, let's just cut out
Ants.
Cut that. Yeah.
So what's better? Because in this film, Woody Allen, he's a worker ant. He swaps places with Sylvester Stallone, who is a soldier ant. And
I thought that was George Clooney, like 2/3 of the movie.
That's fucking weird. Maybe because I'm I love Sylvester Stallone. And fun fact, actually, I thought about while watching this film, one of Sly's first roles was actually, he played a mugger who mugged Woody Allen in one of his movies.
Nice.
Isn't that interesting?
He somehow resisted the urge to actually beat him to death.
Okay, well, I'm just going to tell Sylvester Stallone story real fast. Because, like, I guess it was like Woody Allen was telling somebody, like, oh, like, he's not intimidating enough. He's not being intimidating enough. So the next take, Sylvester Stallone was just like, fucking let him have it. And I'm sure he didn't say it again.
Sylvester's like, you like that, Woody? And he's like, yes, sir.
I don't know. I kind of did.
That was a good one.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, this...
It got me thinking maybe I could be like an insect, like an ant.
He made me feel that small.
They swap places.
Uh-huh.
And Woody Allen's character ends up going into a war. Which do you think did it better, Ants or Saving Private Ryan?
I've never seen Saving Private Ryan.
Me neither.
Oh man. Your history teacher didn't traumatize you?
In different ways.
No, my English teacher traumatized me, but
so much trauma.
So much trauma in one little room.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Okay, so I will say one problem I did have is the like pacing.
Yeah.
Act one takes 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were keeping track.
And it is only an hour and 22 minutes long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It completely destroys your concept of time.
And there's like an hour and 3 minutes where act three began.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, hour and 3 minutes. So, you know, you get that good act three goodness in what? Gosh. Okay. Like, less than 19 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's interesting in the bar one night, this ant with stubble starts talking about insectopia.
Yeah.
I don't think we've said that word out loud.
No.
Insectopia.
Insectopia. That's a weird...
I think it's insectopia. There's only one T.
Well, I'm going to pronounce the T...
Insectopia. Insectopia. Not insectopia.
Insectopia.
No, that's what you were saying.
Insectopia.
That's weird.
Are we going to just... Let's just keep saying it over and over.
They'll love it. The audience would love it if we did something over and over again.
We got to give the people what they want.
After all this stuff goes down, the princess and Woody Allen end up outside the anthill.
He kidnaps her.
He kidnaps her.
It's very romantic.
It's very romantic.
Okay, I love, she punches him in the face. Like, no holding back, yeah. Nothing. And I was like, okay.
She's giving him
best
the business.
Part of the movie. Yeah.
I was actually really loving that she's a little bit taller than him.
Yeah.
Sharon Stone's like, I have to be taller than him. It's in my fucking contract.
I will not. This is the one time Woody Allen has a chance of being taller than me, and it's not gonna fucking happen.
I really want that to be true.
I kind of love the scene where an ant gets incinerated by a magnifying glass. Oh. It was kind of amazing.
I thought you were going to say you love the part where they get to Insectopia, which is a picnic, and there's a giant Mountain Dew can.
It's one of the few things I remembered about the movie.
Because that's your heaven.
Yeah.
It's a giant Mountain Dew can.
If I could drown in a giant Mountain Dew can, I would. That'd be how it would go.
Wait, is it your heaven or your hell, Tyler?
That's how I want to go.
But kind
Mountain
of...
Dew, make it happen.
Thinking about them taking you up on that viral marketing.
But it was kind of like one of the things about the movie that I wish they had actually thought about and expanded upon and, you know, made an actual second and third act. This picnic that is Insectopia. But that feels like two T's.
No, it's a C.
Insectopia.
You're using
that's what I was doing.
No, you do. You just jump right in.
Insectopia.
Okay. Insectopia. Well, either way, they get to this picnic, and it's like they don't have to do any work. They just get everything they want, but they can't get to it. Like, it's too perfect to be true,
mm-hmm.
which is awesome. And then they get to the garbage bin,
mm-hmm.
and
after they meet the wasps, who
after
are wasps.
They meet the wasps. After
Muffy and Chippy.
Yes. And yeah. But they get to this garbage can, and then there's a bunch of other bugs there, and it's actually an Insectopia. And then we get to this campfire scene, and these other insects are talking, and they don't want to work on the campfire. They're like, what about the newbies? And I thought, this is the moment. This is the time.
Ah, yes.
Z is going to learn that they need to work together, valuing each individual, and then they can still have their freedom in Insectopia together, working together. But no. That is not...
that is not it.
That is not it. He goes to get... He does go to get firewood, but he's complaining about how it's ruining his date, and then his date gets kidnapped, and he has this
Christopher Walken
moment.
Comes in and says, he's a slippery little character.
And then I'm thinking, okay, now's the moment. Z is going to learn to care about somebody else. But
nah.
No, he just wants the girl. He doesn't care. It's all selfish.
I did just figure out who Dan Aykroyd was. He's Chip. He's the wasp. He just sounds like John Lithgow. Oh. I thought it was John Lithgow.
I did think
Lithgow.
It was weird that John Lithgow was in this and Shrek.
Well, but Jane Curtin, maybe it's just because Jane Curtin was Muffy, and maybe that's why I jumped to that.
Sure. Well, it made sense. They were. It was close enough.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why I wrote this down. It's actually my last note. It's when they were all doing, like, they had, like, the big ant ladder that they were creating to get out of the hill. I was talking about the queen. And I said hauling that ass around is a full-time job.
That's where all the babies come from, Tyler.
Is that where babies
come from? Did
you not
notice that whole that
oh,
thing
no,
behind
I,
her the whole time? Okay.
I noticed that.
You,
that
Tyler doesn't
horrifying
miss
scene.
A giant ass.
Up top,
holding up.
Come
a
on,
high
louder!
Five.
You have to hear it.
Oh my
hear
god!
It. There we go.
I'm just stuck in the middle of
come
this.
Come on,
no.
Down low, Jillian.
No.
Down low.
Ooh, Jillian is leaving Tyler hanging.
Down.
I just want the listeners.
This won't end. Too slow.
And he just pulled
April
the classic.
Fools. One of the last things I want to talk about is. There's this, so there's a part where the princess gets stuck on some gum on someone's shoe, and then Woody Allen's on the other shoe trying to get to her, and then you just hear like this horrifying scream.
That's right.
That was probably not made by Sharon Stone.
You don't think so?
I don't think she committed to this at all.
Woody Allen only spent 5 days recording his part. I read that in the trivia on IMDb.
Oh, that's okay. Stolen valor, Gina, reading it off of IMDb while we're recording.
It's fine. No, I read it earlier. I'm looking at my notes.
I copied and pasted it.
I did not. Look at my notes. I'm sorry.
So there's a blood-curdling scream, and I feel like I... anyone who worked on Ants, please reach out. Let me know. I think it was a crew member who did it.
Tyler wants to know who did that scream.
So final thoughts on Ants. I don't know. What do you guys think about Ants? What's your Jamie rating for Ants?
I'm going to give it a 1.5.
Wow.
Because I hated the scale. I hated the pacing. And Woody Allen was in it.
Yeah. Well, okay. You know what? You're winning me over on that score. How about you, Jillian?
Well, I do stand by. I think this is the best of the three. But, you know, listening to you guys talk about the movie and upon further reflection, it missed the mark in too many ways. And it was not a memorable movie at all. And upon learning what I have learned and did not know before about Woody Allen, I'm going to give it a 1.
Man.
I'm so excited I've educated someone else about what a horrible creep Woody Allen is.
For me, I don't know. I laughed a few times. I think the movie's ambitious, but it's also not very good. It's below average. I think I'm going to go with a 4.
Wow, that's a good rating for this.
Yeah, I think so. And honestly, the 4 is all Sylvester Stallone and Christopher Walken.
Oh, sure. I get that.
And Dan Aykroyd, if he was the general character, but he's not.
But he wasn't.
He was the Wasp.
He was the Wasp.
We have quite a few podcasts scheduled this month. Hopefully they'll all happen. I don't know. Have a good day. Go use a magnifying glass and burn some ants.
And stay away from Woody Allen.
Stay away from Woody Allen. Don't get adopted by Woody Allen. If you can help it. Good night, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
What a good episode.
Thank you for listening to the Illumination Cinema Movie Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to leave a review and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play. For updates on this show and their other projects, get your parents' permission to go to illuminationcinema.com.